to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I am your host, Edna White. I am a life purpose coach, author, speaker, and instructor. Welcome you today to Keeping It Real. This is the place where experts have in-depth conversation about their life, some of their relationships, and business in real time. It's real talk about real life on purpose, about successes, failures, issues, and insights to a better life. And today on the show, we're excited to have none other than, I'm excited to have her, Misha Miller, who is a realist, a realtor, and a mortgage loan officer or originator. Now, officer is different, originator. I apologize, Misha. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, I am so excited. So, you know what I'm jumping to, right? What does realist have to do with realtor? Tell me about that.
So the realtist, it was established because there was a time when we could not, as people of color, become a realtor. It was actually in, you know, the laws of the established NAR, which, yes, you know, every realtor is obligated to pay into. But for many years, we could not participate. Mm-hmm. So because we could not, we had to create an organization where people of color could be recognized. And, you know, although we don't have the same publications that the realtors have, we don't have commercial. Our organization has been around for many years, and I think it's important for every realtor of color to look into becoming a realtist as well.
Right. That's really nice. This is the first I've ever heard of the realtist. I'm in New York and Long Island, more or less. And, you know, when I came into real estate, it was very male-dominated, very white-dominated. And I even got the phrase, young black girl know how to do real estate? You know, I even got that. So, wow. Yeah. So, I understand where you're coming from. I like the realist part. I really do. It's just amazing. Where does this realist originate out of? What state?
So it was NARAB, which is the National Association of Real Estate Brokers.
Okay.
And then they created the title Realtist.
Okay.
I'm not sure what state it was established in.
Okay.
Funny enough, I got into real estate in 2017, but did not discover the Realtist until recently. Actually, I joined in April.
Oh, okay.
And became a Realtist.
Okay. That's interesting. Very interesting. And it's incredible that we in this time and age, in 2022, we have to personify as black people now, you know, what we're doing and why we do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's really brave of us, and I will say brave of you, because you're in this realtist on this board, because it's a special board. And could you share a little bit about how that special board is, if you have that information?
Yeah, so basically the mission is to elevate the standards of women and men in the real estate industry by encouraging leadership, education, and exchange of information through group learning techniques. And really the big why of the organization and me personally, and I think just about every realtist, is to increase home ownership amongst African Americans and other people of color.
Right. So when you talk about this, I love this subject because many of us we call it the dream, the American dream. And I don't know if it's American dream. I always say I think it's all right. It's everyone's right.
Absolutely.
Talk about how it is important for people of color to own and what it does for the economy. Because I feel that, that being a realtist, you probably taught a lot of that information.
Yeah, so when you think about generational wealth, for many generations, we could not own property. We were property
Right, absolutely.
for, hundreds of years. So, you have individuals with all of these head starts. Everyone's out there like, this American dream is accessible to everybody. You just pick yourself up by bootstraps and save
Right.
and purchase your home. When, we know that a gift that a lot of other nationalities are to give the down payment of their first homes,
Sure.
Or to leverage the equity in their homes to be able to have their children participate in this American dream. And
Right.
for us, for many years, because we did not have that head start, we had, a lot of our grandparents just entering into home ownership in the 50s and the 60s. So,
Right.
they may not have had 40 years of, a paid off mortgage. They were still paying their mortgage when their children were gonna go and purchase their first home. So the entry point for African Americans, is not the same as the entry point for others.
No.
And so it's very, very important that, keeping that in mind, that we're looking out for the generations behind us. So if we're not participating in this quote unquote American dream now, what will your grandchildren have access to?
Right.
They're not good. If you're not buying property now, you're not going to have the equity to give them the down payment for their first home or your grandchildren.
Right.
In order to build generational wealth, one of the biggest ways in which we do that is by home ownership, real estate,
Sure.
Investing in real estate.
Yeah, sure. And that's let me tell you, that's what I learned when I started real estate in, I think, 2002. I know it was two, it was 1999. I was an agent, and I didn't like what I was seeing, and I said, I can do this. I became a broker in 2002. And when I realized that, because I was looking for a house for myself, and I got an amazing deal, and just knowing the information gave me so much confidence, and it made a difference. And learning just what you said about real estate has always been the foundational of wealth that we have been not privy to. We've been kind of sidetracked with, and there's nothing wrong with that, getting a bootstrap, like you said, Section 8, or some of those different funding programs that help us get to where we want to go, and those are stepping stones, but they're not somewhere you need to stay. It's just a
Absolutely.
stepping stone to get to that home ownership, to start saving. And and because you're a mortgage loan originator, I would like you to talk about how credit has a whole lot of play in all of this as well.
Credit is the bane of my existence. I mean, credit gives you the keys to pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Without a decent credit score, you're going to pay more for your mortgage, if you can get a mortgage.
Right.
I think one of the biggest challenges over the last year has been explaining to first-time homebuyers that it's not just credit that they have to be concerned about, mm-hmm. but also their debt-to-income
right.
ratio.
Right.
So you may have a 700 credit score, but if you are overextending yourself, you may still not qualify
yeah.
for a mortgage. And so I think that, you know, there's a limit of education around credit, what it means, how to use it,
mm-hmm.
how to use it wisely, how to leverage credit.
Right.
Because, you know, that's another thing. We're always kind of just chasing that credit score, but not really leveraging our credit.
Yeah. And I think we overextend a lot too as well, because
absolutely.
One thing I did learn about credit cards, and I'm going to date myself because I learned this through, what's his name? Carlton Sheets. So you remember back Carlton Sheets a long time ago? Okay. And he talked about credit cards, and he said you wouldn't buy a banana that you would eat, consume, and then let out of your body on a credit card, because you would pay months and months, even years over for that one banana. And when he said that, I was like, wow, that makes a whole lot of sense. So we don't use credit the correct way, you know.
Right.
I also, you know, with that, and when you're saying like we have too much debt, a car payment for me, if your credit is really good, should be in your twos and not in the sixes, no matter what type of car it is. Correct.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised how many I actually see that are $600 to $800.
Yes,
a month.
Yes.
And some of them aren't luxury vehicles.
Exactly, they're used. I'm like,
Yeah, lot of predatory lending.
Yes, a lot.
And car notes.
Exactly. Yeah. And we have to be very careful of that as we're doing, you know, as we're doing this. And another thing that he had said, a lot of very rich people, or wealthy, no, he didn't say rich, he said wealthy people, buy their cars. If you can't buy mm-hmm. it outrightly, you haven't saved the money to do it, then don't do it. Because then you end up getting yourself into a situation, you know, and it's very true, because these cars now, forget about it, they're really high, but, you know, not having great credit gives us, you know, high insurance costs, rates.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It gives us these rates with the, you know, instead of your payment being 200, you know, for someone who has fairly good, you know, very good credit, you're getting a 600, you know, $600 payment. Is it
right.
wise? Is it wise not to put any money down? I know what we're talking about cars. I know it's a whole different other, but is it wise when someone says you don't have to put any money down, you know, and is that wise on our part?
You know, it really depends,
okay.
right? It depends on how much you can afford.
Right.
It depends on if you have something else that you could be using that money for that would get you a greater return versus
okay.
the monthly payment.
Okay.
So I think each individual case is different.
Right.
Same with purchasing a home, you know, is
right.
it wise to put 20% down? Maybe, you
right.
know,
right.
maybe not.
Right.
You might be using that 20% on another investment,
right,
or a portion of that on another investment. But yeah, if you're just going to blow the 20%, then maybe it's wise to put
right.
it down.
Okay. Okay. All
mm-hmm.
right. So, have you, I know when I was in real estate, I saw, you know, younger people buying houses. When do you suggest that, you know, people really start to look at the overall picture of their lives and what they're doing, as far as economics, and say, you know, I need to invest in a house or a condo, whatever it is I want to invest in? When do you recommend, or you see the very great success from
people who go straight from their parents' house to their own purchased condo or single family home
right.
versus renting
okay.
and paying someone else's mortgage?
Right.
However, that's, you know, that's not something that's feasible for
right.
most of us.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us will have to rent at some point.
Right.
But if we were renting from ourselves, or even if our parents were to buy an investment property and
right.
rent it to the child versus us going and paying over market, for rental.
Right. Okay.
So I think once you've kind of established where you want to be, mm-hmm. and you're going to be there for a set amount of time for it to make sense, mm-hmm. you might look at purchasing versus renting.
Okay. Okay. And is there a lot of consideration? What is the main thing that you should really consider when you're balancing renting versus buying? Is it a budget? What is it that you look at? Some of the things that you can look at.
I would say definitely budget, affordability, and kind of what are your plans in the next 3 to 5 years? If you know you're going to jet set, you know, around the world, and mm-hmm. you're not going to be in any one place for more than a few months, then it's probably not wise.
Right.
But if you're going to be somewhere, say even if you're doing a residency and you're going to be in a state and you know you're going to be there for a few years, it might be wise to buy
right.
versus renting for those 4 years and paying, you know, God knows what and monthly rental
right.
fee.
Sure. So Misha, tell us about one of the clients that really touched your heart, because it sounds like that you really love what you do and you put your whole heart into it. Tell us about one of your clients that really touched your heart that you helped.
You know, I can't really think of one in particular,
okay.
But getting into the lending realm, it's those clients that is not the ones with the high credit scores. You know, it's the mm-hmm. ones that work really hard. They've been on their jobs. And I have plenty of examples. They've been on their job for 9+ years. Mm-hmm. They finally saved up, you know, a few thousand dollars, and they're ready to transition from renting to owning a home.
Right.
You know, they haven't had a lot of experience with home ownership. Mm-hmm. They may even be the first in their family that's going to purchase a home.
Right.
They know very little about how to use their credit. They don't often come understanding what DTI means,
right.
And how that will impact whether or not they can be approved for a mortgage, but they're ready. Like, those individuals work harder than everybody else.
Yeah.
They're so appreciative of you taking time to educate them and not seeing them as a transaction that's going to close, but actually seeing them as someone you're building a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that when they finally get approved and they finally find a house and they close, like
right.
it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a transaction.
Right.
You know, it feels like a win for me and them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like those are the clients that, you know, if I could spend all of my time working with those clients, those would be the clients
yeah,
that I work with.
Yes. I understand that totally.
Mm-hmm.
What is the common myths about your, like, you, what you do? What are some of the common myths or stereotype about your profession that you would like to debunk?
I think that HGTV has cheapened, or maybe watered, not cheapened, maybe watered down what a realtor is,
mm-hmm.
what a, you know, what a loan is and a mortgage loan originator is. You know, it's this flashy realtor that comes in with, you know, flashy clothes and red
right.
bottoms and luxury automobile.
Yeah.
And it's all business and bring the cash and let's close and
yeah.
you know, always be closing. And it's just not, it's a very transactional relationship is how it's shown and
mm-hmm.
very glamorized. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the reason why you have a lot of people who want to sell their own home versus using a realtor, or, you know, they see realtors as these greedy individuals who just not doing that much, and it's something that they can do themselves because, you know, all they do is sit back and pretty much collect a check. When the average realtor, I believe the average salary of the average realtor is between $40,000 and $50,000 a year.
Yep.
You know, a lot of us work full time.
Yeah.
We are taking calls into the, you know, late hours of the night, negotiating
mm-hmm.
contracts, taking clients out to see 40 houses
mm-hmm.
and making offers on 20 homes,
mm-hmm.
trying to make them competitive and working with, you know, the limitations of whatever it is that that client has
right.
available to them.
Right.
And, you know, these we're going hard for the buyers,
mm-hmm.
mostly, you know. Most realtors don't see it as just a transaction and just a quick way to a payday. These are things that, you know, we could probably make a lot more money doing other things. A lot of realtors are very well educated. Many have a master's degrees, and it's a skilled profession.
Sure.
And it's not just, you know, opening up, just, you know, getting the key out the box and opening up the door and telling you about the countertops. It's being knowledgeable about contracts and negotiating and being a salesperson and a relationship builder and leveraging relationships to get a lot of buyers into these homes when the market is competitive. So I think, you know, just challenging individuals to look beyond, you know, HGTV and Instagram and really getting to know what your realtor values.
And where is your market? Your farm area, what state in area?
So I am in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Mm-hmm. I work the complete metroplex as far as real estate. With lending, I am in 14 states. So I'm in Alabama, Arkansas, California, Connecticut, D.C., Virginia, Washington, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Illinois.
Okay.
And I went out of order, but so I'm in 14 states and we'll probably be in a couple more pretty soon. So, you know, my goal in lending is to be able to help more people across more states, you know, so when I turn around that I'm able to help more families get into homes.
Okay. And does it ever come a situation that the realtor and the mortgage loan originator have a clash or maybe some issue that, you know, that you might have to do one opposed to the other?
Absolutely. So kind of the way that I structure my business here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area is when I meet with an individual, I'm always going to try to put them in the best position possible, right? So as a mortgage loan originator, I cannot originate an FHA loan and serve as the realtor.
Mm-hmm.
However, I can with conventional and other loan types. So my goal is always going to be to save the client the most money as possible.
Right.
So if I can save that on the origination side, I will. If I'm serving as both the originator and the realtor, then of course I'm going to save them on the realtor side by way of possibly a realtor rebate to them to be able to make the closing costs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always in the best interest of the client. If it's in their best interest to go FHA and, you know, go with another realtor, then I'll refer them to another capable realtor here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Okay. And how is the market there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area?
So as it's been, I think, across the U.S.,
the
last 2 years have been just crazy. Competitive offers, multiple offers on just about every listing, whether it's, you know, remodeled or not. And so it's been really hard to get some of our first-time home buyers into homes.
Right.
It's cooling a little bit here, meaning
so
that maybe last year there was 30 offers where there's maybe 10 now.
Yeah.
So still competitive, but definitely cooling and stabilizing as far as prices.
Yeah. We're getting that here, too. I'm actually, you know, working with, I think, 4 buyers, and I kind of told them we've gone through like maybe 20 offers and we've had like 30 offers at once. And I said, you know, keep stockpiling your savings, you know, you know, put that away. And, you know, our market is going slowly down. Like I think for the last month or two, it was 10,000 down, but it still was way over value, you know, way over value for foreclosures. We're talking 500,000. You have to put work into it. So that's what we're talking about. Yeah. It's a lot. Excuse me, but so it really is you know a time that we have to. I think what I'm doing now, and I think you're doing, is educating. You know, getting them all in the room, getting them prepared for the coming change, the shift in market. Because we see that. You know, I saw it in 1985. I saw it in 2000. You know, I saw it. You know, again in 2005. I think was and then. And now, you know, 2015 and now in 2019, you know, so you see those changes in the market and this is the education time. And I like how we, you know, it's important that people of color, start to get educated because, As a loan originator, can you tell us, is there any available funding for those in disparate areas that you know of, or people of color, for or any incentives to purchase homes?
So a lot of the programs are state, county, city specific.
Okay.
What I'm finding that individuals who do have Section 8 voucher, there is actually a home purchasing program through the Section 8 voucher program. So it's knowing what those resources are, making sure you're connected to community resources.
Right.
And then when you do meet with a realtor, you know, asking about those things, not being afraid to say, you know, I'm going to need help with the down payment. You know, do you know of any programs?
Right.
There are down payment assistance programs through lenders and banks. However, right now, because the interest rates are so high, it is actually costing people more than it is benefiting them to use the down payment assistance.
Right.
So I would suggest, like you said, educating people around saving, saving, because no down payment is really free. Or comes without an obligation to either stay in the house or puts limitations on you that you wouldn't normally have if you could just come up with your down payment and your closing costs. You know, you can put down as low as 3% and purchase now as a first-time home buyer.
Right. What advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a business or career similar to yours?
If I could do it again, I think, one, I would study it a bit more. Talk to individuals that were willing to be 100% completely honest about the challenges, not just, you know, the glorification of the profession. You know, actually spend some time shadowing and having conversations with different individuals in the field that you're looking to get into.
Okay. All right. So, you know, we've come to, this is so great for the audience and audience, you know, it's great education for us. And some of us are refreshers, which is great. And I'm glad that the audience and I are getting to know you, Misha, as a business person and sharing your experiences. Now it's time to turn the tables and we want to know about you personally. So who in your life is the most important person who keeps you pushing in this business direction?
It would be people, and it would be my children.
Okay.
I have two young adult children, 25 and 22. Just wanting them to be better than I am and have more than I do is what pushes me, you know, to keep going.
Right.
And to become a better version of myself every day.
Right. What is one of the best compliments you ever received?
Now that's a difficult one. I don't know if there's a best compliment. I would probably just go with what a repetitive compliment I get. And I think it's something that means a lot to me because I think it is a part of my personal brand is that I'm always there for the people that I love, friends, family, you know, whether they need advice or an opinion about something or, you know, boots on the ground help with something that I'm one of the first people that they think about. And I think that's the greatest compliment.
Absolutely. That is great. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
In this moment, I would say I would have a billboard that has the percentage 43.4 on it. And that's part of my big why for why I land and why I'm a realtor. And that's the Black home ownership rate.
Yes.
And it's lower than it has been over the last 10 years.
Right.
So I think it needs to be a reminder for those of us in the profession and just us in general so that we understand kind of where we sit in comparison. And so that we change that, we make a conscious effort to change that.
That's nice. What would you pick for your last meal?
Lasagna.
Lasagna. Lots of cheese. Vegetable lasagna. There's all types of lasagnas. What would you pick?
I do turkey, ground turkey lasagna. Okay. I usually put spinach and you might put some other vegetables in it to jazz it up here or there. But I could probably, and I have eaten lasagna for two meals a day for several days, happily.
Okay. I think you're like that with, I'm like that with rice. I love rice. It's the worst thing for you, but I could eat that. You don't have to give me nothing. Just let me have the rice. Let me have the rice, you know? So,
right.
So you're like that with lasagna. So final thoughts, What's the best tip you can share with other women or men who want to get in this business? What's some final thoughts for them?
I think final thoughts would be to see every roadblock as a challenge. And when I say it as a challenge, it's something that you can get beyond, go above, go under, go over. Even, you know, in home ownership, like there's so many different ways to approach everything, including this profession. Your route may not look like somebody else's route. You have to find your own path and just keep pushing forward.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. And we want to thank you, audience, for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post it about on social media, and leave a rating or a review. And listen, there's a new button that's on the bottom of this anchor here, and all you got to do is push the button. If you want to ask my guest a question today, Misha, anything about real estate, anything about loans, mortgages, getting a house, you can leave her a question and I'll send it right over to her and she will be able to answer personally. So I don't want you to miss that button right below and just press the button to leave a comment or a statement or feedback or even sing a song, whatever you want to do. I'll send it right over to Misha, I promise you. But you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at EJW Coaching, and we want to thank you again and see you next time. This is Edna White and my esteemed guest, Misha Miller, saying goodbye for now.
Bye.
For 25 years, Brightview Senior Living Associates have been committed to creating a vibrant culture and delivering exceptional services, making Brightview a great place to work and live. If you're looking for a rewarding opportunity to serve your local community and grow, we want you to join our team. Brightview Senior Living is growing and actively seeking vibrant associates to join our community teams, including directors, healthcare, activities, hospitality, and dining. Apply today at careers.brightviewseniorliving.com.
Equal employment opportunities.
Text BVJobs to 97211 to apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.